should tell me what your name is. Is that Helen? Yeah. Hayden? Oh, okay.
So I'm presenting today for a colleague, Ree Liu, who was unable to come to the conference today. And Ree is a soil molecular ecologist person, whereas I am not. So I apologise if some of the... Well, it'll all make sense, yes. Okay, so Ree was doing some work looking at acetylene as the impacts on nitrous oxide emissions and ammonia oxidising microorganisms in soil. And this was work funded through a couple of programs with one of our long-term fertiliser funders, the State Government of Victoria, which is one of her supervisors, and also the Federal Government Department of Agriculture and Water Resources. So I think everybody's sort of aware of the multiple pathways by which N2O can be produced. So in the soil we have this ammonia oxidation performed by the ammonia oxidising bacteria or archaea, and then we have nitrite oxidising bacteria performing nitrite oxidation, and then as a side path from this process we can have production of N2O. Then N2O can also come from this denitrification process in these soils, and then nitrification can also be undertaken by this single organism as well. So Ree's done a fair bit of work looking at distinguishing the pathways of nitrous oxide production, whether it's nitrification or denitrification. So this is looking at mitigation options for N2O production, and there's a number of different techniques that can be used: physicochemical technologies, plant-based technologies, or genome engineering technologies. And what she's talking about in this actual presentation is this physicochemical technology. So that's using something agrochemical input to change the rate of nitrification or denitrification, or managing the system in such a way that the conditions in the soil are not conducive to the production of nitrous oxide. So so that can include, in the agrochemical inputs, can include use of nitrification inhibitors, and there's been talks on DCD and DMPP and NSERV at this conference. And there's using what we call enhanced efficiency fertilisers, which include those inhibitory products plus compounds that are coating fertilisers that slow the rate of release. And the agronomic inventions would be the 4 R's, so the right time, right place, right source and right rate, or land management to ensure that the organic matter contents and the water contents of the soil were not conducive to these loss pathways. So what Ree's looked at is the acetylene, which is one of the agrochemical inputs. It's a nitrification inhibitor. And so it affects the ammonium monooxygenase gene, which is found in these archaea and bacteria, and it impacts on the autotrophic nitrifiers. And it can work at a low concentration to inhibit nitrification, and at higher concentrations it's inhibiting denitrification. So quite often acetylene is used to distinguish those two pathways, so you can use different rates to distinguish between them. But as with all the nitrification inhibitors, its efficiency is variable, and this is likely to be due to impacts on different microbes that are in the soil. So what her key research questions were looking at: what's the impact of acetylene on nitrous oxide emissions, the ammonia oxidising archaea and the ammonia oxidising bacteria across different soils and under different temperature and climate, different temperature and moisture conditions. And she's published this work in Applied Soil Ecology this year. So she had two parts to the project here that she studied, where the first part was looking at 4 different soils that ranged from acid soils to the vegetable soil being alkaline, and they also varied in the organic carbon content. So we have higher organic carbon in the cropping soil and the pasture soil, and lower organic carbon in the sugarcane and vegetable soils. So this is a lab-based study that, when she looked at the soil effect, she looked at constant conditions of 25 degrees and 60% water-filled pore space, added ammonium and nitrate fertilisers into here and then imposed an acetylene treatment onto some of those tests and looked at nitrification rates, N2O emissions and the abundance of these microbes. The second part was she just took the cropping soil and looked at the impact of temperature and moisture on these processes. So looking at some of the results, she noticed that the net nitrification rates, so that's the production of nitrate, increased from the more acidic soil through to the more alkaline soil, which was what we would be expecting. She found that the N2O production was highest in the soils that had the highest organic matter content, so that again is what we would be predicting would occur. When she looked at the inhibition that occurred with the use of the acetylene, so she had complete inhibition of nitrate production, nitrification in the more acidic soils, in the very acidic cropping soil and the acidic pasture soil, but less inhibition in these other two soils. And then looking at the impacts on N2O, you can see that there's sort of a range that doesn't really relate to the acidity or the pH, the acidity or the organic carbon content of these soils. So a bit of variation across these, the impact on these soils. So she extracted DNA and looked for whether there were bacteria or archaea in these soils, and she found in this vegetable soil that it was dominated by bacteria, which again we would expect in these soils, and these would be high input vegetable soils as well. So the AOB was highest, and the acetylene did have an impact on the AOB in that soil. Whereas when she looked at the archaea, they were dominant in these more acidic soils, we would expect, and the acetylene was having an inhibitory effect on the archaea in these soils. And the highest was in the acidic sugarcane soil, so that was not our most acidic soil. And yes, the acetylene was effective at reducing the AOA population. So what we found in some of these studies is that depending on which microbes are present, the inhibitors seem to affect some microbes to differing degrees in the different soils. So the conclusions of this part was that in the alkaline soil, the bacteria dominate, nitrous oxide emissions were low because there was low carbon, nitrification rates were higher, and the inhibitor was very effective on N2O emissions but least effective on nitrate production. Whereas in the acidic soils, the archaea dominate, nitrous oxide was higher in two of those soils because of the carbon, and the inhibitor was effective on both nitrate and N2O emissions. So this is the second part of her experiment where she looked at the acidic cropping soil and looked at the impact of temperature. So she had three temperatures, 15, 25 and 35 degrees, two moisture contents of 50 and 70% water-filled pore space. And looking at the data that she's presented here, you can see there's sort of low levels of net nitrification across those soils, and there doesn't seem to be much of a change associated with changes in the moisture conditions. There's a bit less nitrification when the moisture conditions are higher, but in terms of the temperature response, there's not a clear relationship there. When she looked at the inhibition with the acetylene, she found that the inhibition was greatest at the lower temperature and reduced as the temperature increased. But this relationship doesn't hold when we're looking at the drier conditions. And I did go to a talk this morning which was talking about stresses associated with microbes, and it was talking about the heat effect and the impact of water on that. So I think this maybe is what is happening here, but I haven't had time to think about that since the talk this morning, that there's a sort of correlation or an interaction between the heat influence and the presence of moisture. Now, looking at the N2O emissions, provided a more sort of easier to explain response. So they increased as temperature increased across both the 50% and 70% water-filled pore space, and they were higher when there was more moisture in the soil, as we'd expect, because we're having a combination of nitrification and denitrification at the higher moisture content, whereas it's just nitrification at lower water contents. And there was a variable effect of the inhibitor here, depending again on the moisture conditions, with no inhibition in some cases, so at 15 degrees, very high inhibitions at 70% water-filled pore space and not much at 50% water-filled pore space. But this relationship again switches depending on the temperature and the moisture interaction. Looking at the ammonia oxidizing bacteria in these studies, now so we've got the 50% water-filled pore space on the left and the 70% on the right, increasing from 15, 25 and 35 degrees. I would point out that the scales on the y-axis are not the same for the charts all the way down. So the top two are the same, but the ones below that are a little bit lower, and the ones below that are lower still. So the key findings were that AOB increased with the addition of N, and these were greatest in these 15 degree temperature and least at 35 degrees. And there was an impact from the acetylene at this condition, so at 25 degrees, 70% water-filled pore space was the greatest impact, and least sensitive at this dry condition, low temperature and wet conditions. Looking at the AOA, and again the scales are not, but the y-axis changed. So the AOA also increased with the addition of N, and also was greatest at 15 degrees and least at 35 degrees. And they were most sensitive to the acetylene at these cold, dry conditions, 15 degrees, 50%. And least sensitive in these hotter conditions. So the conclusions of this work were that acetylene was more effective in the acidic soils than the alkaline soils. They completely inhibited nitrification by reducing the AOB and AOA abundance in the acidic cropping and dairy soils. They were effective in inhibiting nitrification and N2O emissions by impacting on the AOB in the alkaline vegetable soil. And so still this variation exists, so further work to verify across different soils is required to get a larger data set to understand the effect. And I'll just put up, if you're interested, this is Ree's paper that she's published, Applied Soil Ecology.
Thank you.
Thank you. In the first part. I might have to go back, sorry, because this is not. this table here.
Yep.
So. So the impact on. You're talking about this 29 here?
I'm on the nitrate, the second column.
This column here?
Yep.
So
then the conclusion is AOB is the dominant in this outbuilding soil, seems to be contradicting.
Sorry, yeah, I'm not quite sure what. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good question, Carl. So it is, in terms of using it out in the field, it's something that's hard to use because of its volatility. So there are forms that might be encapsulated, but it's really a tool for looking at microbial responses. Yeah.